Mark Collier, Fort Thomas Matters Radio, back today with the Bachelor in Bourbon podcast featuring Jessica Duke and her husband, Kevin. They're going to go over everything that happened in episode, I think, 3 now. So, yeah, a lot going on. I don't watch The Bachelor, but of course I know all about Nick and Corinne, and that's about it. But this is a good listen. I've taken a listen, and even though that I don't listen to it, it's still interesting, and I think they're improving and doing a good job. So thanks, Jessica and Kevin. First, I want to take a break and talk about our sponsor, Omega Processing Solutions. What could you do with $20,000 in your business right now? How about $50,000? What's on your business wish list for 2017? Is it growth? Do you want to expand? I know I do at Fort Thomas Matters, and this program got my ears perked because they could give you the cash flow that you need now, and you just pay it back with a small percentage of each day's credit card sales. So their working capital program features high approval rates, in-house underwriting and approval, no setup fees, no closing cost. It's a simple application. It's a fast turnaround. There's no collateral. It's simple and quick to renew. Call and get qualified today, 866-888-9724, 866-888-9724. That's extension 7 or omegap.com. This is a good deal. Local underwriters, guys. You're not dealing with the banks here. Omega Processing Solutions. Now, up on the show, we're going to introduce Jessica and Kevin.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to our Bachelor podcast. My name is Jessica Duke.
And this is Kevin Duke.
And now we have an official name.
Bachelor and Bourbon. Apparently, we now get to talk about and drink bourbon, if you hear the clinking glass. I'm drinking tonight bourbon from my selection, my kind of nightly sipper, Jefferson's Reserve nightly sipper. That makes me sound like I have a problem, but I guess it is. Jefferson's Reserve. And what I'm going to do is try out a different bourbon each week and give you some of my feedback on it. Jefferson's Reserve, I'll start with that. It's perfect for watching The Bachelor because it just goes down smooth. It's easy to drink. I drink it on the rocks, but you can also drink it neat, I guess.
I don't drink it.
You don't?
No.
No, not at all. No, only tequila.
Yeah. I think our girls' choice is typically wine. Red wine, right? For The Bachelor?
Red wine for a lot of whining, which is what we saw, I think, on tonight's episode.
Yeah.
A lot of girls whining about Corinne.
Yeah, Corinne. To start off the show, we did not have a rose ceremony last week. We started off this week with just that. It kind of jumped totally into the whole ceremony. All of the girls were ready to go, and it turned back into the Corinne show, which kind of bothered me because I feel that this is like all we talk about.
Yeah.
Which is strange, but I mean, it is the way the show is going. And she does cause a lot of commotion.
But you're absolutely right. The producers keyed in on Corinne early on in this season, and it has absolutely become the Corinne show. For me, it's already annoying. It's run its course. I hope she goes home soon, but I have a sneaking suspicion that she won't be.
No, I think she's going to be around for a while.
A while.
So to jump ahead, most of the girls were talking to Nick. They were really getting into conversations with him. And then they flashed to Corinne, who was upstairs getting ready, who has...
Well, more like getting unready.
Yes. And she is in a, like, a coat?
A trench
like,
coat.
Like a trench coat.
Right.
Like, think of, like, flasher style. Like, that's the type of coat that she was in. And all of the other girls are in their regular rose ceremony
cocktail dresses.
So if we go back to last week, Corinne already has a rose.
Right.
So this does not matter to her, really, that she needs to get ready for the rose ceremony, that she needs to participate in this.
She knows she's staying.
She just wants to go and be fun Corinne. So down the steps she comes and she decides to grab a can of whipped cream.
Because that was handy.
Naturally. And then she runs outside and they're just, she grabs Nick and they're laying on these pillows just outside the door. And she's obviously naked underneath of her trench coat. And they're licking whipped cream off of each other.
Right. It was straight out of Varsity Blues, which is funny because Varsity Blues probably came out when Corinne was 3 years old. But it was an episode straight out of Varsity Blues.
Yes.
And, you know, this type of behavior, action, call it what you will, isn't terribly uncommon, but it's like fantasy suite level, not week two.
And I always go back to her age. I find it so strange because he is a lot older.
Yeah.
And I feel like he also does a lot of, like, I know I'm not supposed to do this, but...
And that's what's interesting for me, at least. I don't place any blame on Corinne. She can express herself the way she wants to. She's playing a game. She's trying to make it pretty far in. She's trying to win. But Nick, and this comes full circle at the end of the episode, so we'll probably end up talking about this again. But Nick should know better. This is his fourth time around. He's a 36-year-old man.
Exactly.
And she's just trying to differentiate herself, and this is how she's chosen to do it.
And she's whether obviously...
Whether it's how I would do it or not, probably a different story, but...
Yes. She's obviously comfortable with her body. She does not care what the other girls think, which the other girls then, sneaky suspicion, somebody tells them something's going on. So they're all staring out the window at right. them. And then Jasmine decides that she's going to go and interrupt them.
Yeah, good for her.
Yeah. So she walks out the door. She asks to interrupt them. And Corinne gets very disappointed.
Yep.
I mean, she starts crying, and she then takes off and runs upstairs. Now, in my brain, I don't know what she thought was going to happen. They're not going to have sex literally right outside the mansion
door. I think she thought they were. I think she thought they were.
I don't understand what goes through some of these women's heads.
Yeah.
And, like, all of these people, and it wasn't even really dark.
No.
Like, it was kind of light. Maybe it was morning, like it had gone through all the night. I don't know what time of day it was, but it was not dark outside. It was like early evening or something.
Yeah.
So that just threw me totally off. So she goes straight upstairs, starts crying.
And goes to sleep.
And she decides to go to sleep.
And sleeps through the entire rose ceremony.
She has no care in the world that she is skipping this rose ceremony.
Right. So Nick walks in, starts to begin to talk to the women about the rose ceremony.
Yeah.
And then pauses. Where's Corinne?
And everyone kind of just blank stares at him.
So even when Corinne is not on camera, she is still the main focus. And I guess that's what, for me, it gets even worse and worse as the episode wears on. But she is wearing on me.
Yes.
It's time for her to go.
It definitely is.
Yeah.
So then he calls all of the women.
Yep.
Now this is a spoiler alert. So if you want to like jump ahead like a minute or 2 minutes.
Otherwise, you're here who goes home.
All right, so we've warned you. So the girls that do go home are Haley, Lacey, and Elizabeth.
None of them are fan favorites, at
no.
least for me. The two Danielles are pretty high ranking. Yours choice is
still Vanessa.
So
I don't think it was like really shocking. We kind of just were like, okay, great, we got the rose ceremony over. Let's now jump into the show. I think only the really like. One of the funny parts in the rose ceremony was Alexis.
Yeah.
Now, we know her, or I call her Shark Girl.
Shark Girl.
I think
she calls herself Dolphin Girl.
Dolphin Girl, yes. I just find her very funny. She finds everything very, like, hilarious in all types of situations. They called her name down, and she literally pushed her hands aside and said, "Move, bitches." And I thought that was pretty funny.
So did the women.
Yeah, they know she's joking.
Yeah.
She's just a very, I mean, with everyone crying and being super serious, she is just a very
fun-loving person.
Character.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, I mean, I really enjoy in the show.
Speaking of fun.
Yeah.
Your favorite thing happened next with your favorite, I guess you call them a band, but a boy band.
Yes. I mean, my heart jumped.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
let's...
You literally squealed.
I did.
You literally squealed.
Okay.
I thought you'd seen a mouse.
No, I did not... I try not to, like, read ahead, so I can kind of just be, like... In the moment, just watch this and then be able to talk to you guys about this. So the next day, comes the group date card. And they start rattling off the names, you know, Danielle L., Christina, Jasmine, Corinne, and Christine.
Kristen and Taylor.
And Taylor. Okay, so, and then all of, the only thing the card says is everybody. And, like, that's it. That's all it says. But then enter in Backstreet Boys music. I about died.
Everybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened. And then I thought, oh, they're just like playing the song or something.
Right.
No, the Backstreet Boys literally walked into the mansion.
It was amazing.
I mean,
I was blown away.
Shut up.
Everyone but Justin Timberlake was there. Lance Bass, they were all there.
Shush. You're going to confuse some of these people.
Sorry. We need to get in sync.
Those guys, stop. Those guys are not part of Backstreet Boys. Okay, so. I would rank this as, like, the best group date ever, honestly, because the Backstreet Boys were there. I was really into it. So what they planned on doing was the Backstreet Boys are opening a show in Las Vegas.
Yeah, they're taking up residency.
Yes.
And so they had a big performance in front of 500 people that evening that they had to plan.
It's pretty small.
It's pretty small. More fit in the Highlands Auditorium.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
That is true.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
So yeah, a big performance in front of 500 people, and the women were going to get to be the background dancers, which is, I mean, actually really cool.
That was really cool.
And Nick was dancing.
Yes.
As well. So they had only about an hour to learn fairly complex choreography, which came pretty naturally to Jasmine. She's a professional dancer, used to be a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader.
Yeah.
She's dances for the NBA now, so she was great. A surprise, though, Danielle L., my personal favorite, and my early pick for who I think would go all the way, although I might be leaning in a different direction after tonight, he did great.
Yeah.
Corinne did not.
Now, it always blows me away that some people out there just have, like, zero rhythm. I don't know. I mean, I grew up being a dancer, and... Kevin, you've got some pretty sweet dance moves.
I have delusions of dance floor grandeur.
I feel like you're pretty good.
Well, thanks.
I'm
better than Corinne.
You are better than Corinne. So she gets up there, and I mean, I swear it's like she's faking it. I don't know what's going on. She is not moving.
No human person could be this bad of a dancer.
No, like go left when they go right. I don't understand what's happening. Insert crying, insert leaving the room.
Running away.
Again.
Because it has to be the Corinne show.
Exactly.
But she musters up enough courage to come back.
And get on stage.
And she performs.
And they perform the whole thing. And what they are performing for is, I guess, best dancer. Or maybe just, like, best person that, like, fit with Nick while they were dancing up there. Danielle wins that challenge.
Yeah.
And the Backstreet Boys decided, like, they are on stage and they call Danielle from, you know, just right behind
them.
Women.
Yeah.
And say, okay, you got chosen. And then the Backstreet Boys serenaded Nick and Danielle L while they danced on stage, and they're dancing and they're making out with each other.
Yeah.
While all the other girls are just watching at them.
Right.
Super awkward, but
absolutely.
That is the show.
That's the show.
I thought it was a really cool group date.
I mean, better
than cool, but I mean, I would even go on it. Even then, I would just say I'm not married. I need to go on this date.
Yeah. Well, you know, I can't blame you for that. But yeah, it was a neat group date. And so then they went for the mandatory drinks afterwards, the mandatory drinks and drama.
Yeah.
Afterwards. Danielle L. took home the rose.
Yes.
Despite Corinne firmly believing it was going to be her yet again and showing her disappointment.
She did decide, though, that she thought Nick shouldn't have given it to her.
Politically speaking, that would have been
because
bad.
That would have put a target on her back, is what she said. And I think she just makes up these crazy things in her head.
What else, though, came out during that group date? Corinne
has a nanny.
Which we knew.
Yeah.
But the other women didn't.
No.
And Jasmine was blown away.
I mean, I think just like we all were when we found out that she had a nanny. I mean, and she's talking about how she does not do her laundry. She does not
spice her cucumbers.
It was ridiculous.
Make her cheese pasta. Nobody makes cheese pasta like Raquel makes cheese pasta.
Right.
But, you know, to Corinne's credit, benefit of the doubt, I guess, she knows who she is and she's not ashamed of it.
No.
Who she is, in my opinion, is an awful person, but she's not ashamed of being an awful person.
Right. No. I know.
To each their own, I guess.
So that wraps up the first group date.
Yeah. So then we get to the one-on-one.
Which, you have a fun fact about this.
Yeah, it's interesting. I researched this, and I can't remember from where. I'm sorry. But Vanessa.
Yeah, gets the one-on-one date.
With Nick. And the last two seasons, the one-on-one date in episode 3, meaning the second one-on-one date, went on to be the winner.
I think it's funny that you always know these fun facts, but that, I feel like, is an actual fun fact.
Yeah. Especially since Vanessa is...
I'm intrigued by that fun fact.
And Vanessa is who you chose to be the winner. So, you know, you might be right.
I really would like for her to win.
After tonight, I think I do too. They had a really cool date. They went on it's called Zero-G, a flight, an airplane that makes you feel like you're in a zero gravity, like you're in outer space.
Yeah, and for a very low cost of $4,950... Per person.
Well,
you could go on this date together.
Plus a 15% tax.
Why do you never take me on these things?
Well, I can't imagine how you would react. Probably like Vanessa did.
Thanks, Jessica. Thanks, Kevin. I'm going to interrupt really quickly and give a plug to another podcast sponsor, and that is Jamie Anna Insurance Services. She's located at 1136 South Fort Thomas Avenue. You can reach her at 441-0310. Are you a small business owner? Are you looking for options on your insurance coverage for your small business? If so, call Jamie Anna Insurance Services. Jamie represents Erie Insurance, which offers a wide variety of business insurance. Jamie can customize a package to best fit your needs for your small business. Whether you own a salon or a restaurant, or if you're a wholesale distributor, Jamie has a plan that can fit your business with Erie Insurance. Jamie Anna has plans for your personal insurance also. She truly is a one-stop shop insurance agent, local agent with local ties. You can trust Jamie Anna Insurance Services to protect all that you care about. Call Jamie Anna today, 859-441-0310. Again, 859-441-0310 or online at jamieannainsuranceservices.com. That's J-A-M-I. Back to Jessica and Kevin.
So poor Vanessa gets on this plane and they go up into the sky and they turn on, I guess, zero gravity or however it works.
Well, it's a flight maneuver. So the flight takes off going straight up. So you feel like you weigh 1,000 pounds. And then it does all these series of maneuvers where it does a nosedive.
Oh, okay.
And when you're nosediving, it replicates zero gravity. But enough about that. More importantly, Vanessa and Nick are having a grand old time. I mean, it looked really cool.
Yeah. I mean, it was just like you would think in movies. They're like floating all over the place or like, you know, being all adorable and cute. And then
Vanessa vomits.
Vanessa gets really sick.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's not like everything goes everywhere. It's like, she says to Nick, oh my gosh, I mean, I'm sitting on my couch feeling horrible for her.
Yeah.
I feel horrible that she is feeling so sick. And she does. She throws up not once, not twice, but I feel like
three or four times.
Several
in a bag
times.
At least.
Yes.
Producers were on scene to help her. But it did not deter Nick from continuing to make out with her.
I know. Ew.
A little bit gross.
It was a little gross. They did have gum. I noticed that though.
Yeah, but come on.
But they were, but Nick was like really cute about it.
He was.
But I think naturally that's like anybody's kind of instinct. Someone is sick. We need to help them. You know what I mean?
And I think he was kissing her to show her that she should be okay. You know, like it, she couldn't help it. She shouldn't be embarrassed of it, but still.
Right.
Gross.
I know.
Yeah.
So they get the plane down and then they go to their dinner. And, you know,
on the top floor of the tallest building in downtown Los Angeles.
It was very cool.
It was really cool.
That was more affordable. I looked it up.
Yeah, $22.
Yeah, we should actually do that.
Well, we got to pay $5,000 to find it in Los Angeles or whatever.
We'll get there one day. But they have dinner and they kind of open up a little bit more.
Quite a lot. I think Nick talked to Vanessa more than he's talked to any of the other women. He opened up a lot. So Vanessa told Nick that she didn't know a whole lot about him, but she'd seen a few episodes of Andy's season and thought it was cool that he was a family man. And then she shared that her grandfather died right before the filming started of the show. But she was in a limo at the funeral, and all of the people in the funeral procession had one rose. And she thought that was her grandpa's way of saying, you're going to get through this. You should go on and do this. And Nick was really touched by the story. Nick then talked about how he had loved and lost with Andy and Caitlin both, and even shed a few tears that may or may not have been scripted.
Yeah, that was kind of shocking.
Yeah.
We haven't seen him cry
He's
before.
Pretty squirmy. I wouldn't have even thought he was capable of crying, but he did.
Yeah, he did. And I feel like that really showed he opened up
it
to her.
It really seemed like they had a really genuine connection. And then at the end, when Vanessa called him to task, which we'll get to in a minute, you could tell he was genuinely bothered by it. He wasn't writing her off. So I hate to abandon Danielle this early in the filming or in the taping, but I don't think I'm going to, but right. I think Vanessa might be a really good pick.
Yeah. You also had mentioned when they were at dinner, when they were kissing and making out, it's a lot different when they're kissing than it is when he's kissing like Corinne
yeah.
for instance. It just seems he's very
connected.
Yeah.
It seemed like he and Vanessa were very connected.
It
seemed like he just has fun with Corinne because she's a beautiful young woman and she's hypersexual.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's one of the more hypersexual bachelors that we've had as well. So it kind of fits, but it just seems very different.
Yeah.
You're right.
So Vanessa got the rose and all was happy with that situation.
Yep.
And then it followed with another group date. Which was kind of, this one was kind of fun. It was a more athletic one.
Yeah, the Bachelor loves doing those athletic contests, soccer games or football games, flag football, whatever.
I definitely would have wanted to do Backstreet Boys before this situation, but it was really cute. So they had three
Olympians, Carl Lewis.
Yeah, they were on a track field.
Yep.
And all the girls were there, and they start walking towards them. So it was Carl Lewis,
Allison Felix, and Michelle Carter.
Which were pretty cool.
Yeah. People. Oh my. So I mean, Nick competed, I guess, in track and field in high school and in college.
Yeah.
He said, which was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
If meeting Carl Lewis is, gosh, that's got to be a lot of people's boyhood dreams. Allison Felix, for me, is just such an incredible sprinter and Olympian. And Michelle Carter, I'm not going to lie, I had to look her up. I wasn't sure who she was, but she was the gold medal winner in the shot put.
Yeah.
So three, top Olympians.
Yeah.
Very neat.
And I'm sure they always thought that they were going to dream about having amazing games like jump into Nick's arms.
Yeah. That's a good point. I'm sure Carl Lewis, though, was just excited that he didn't have to sing the national anthem first.
But so they had these silly games that went on back and forth. But one of the last games that they had.
Oh, the women on this date.
Yes.
Were Rachel.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Dominique, Brittany, Jamie, Astrid.
I know. I always get trouble with that
one. I don't know
why
you can't say her name.
I can't.
Astrid.
Mm-hmm.
Alexis, the fun one.
Yes.
And Sarah, the school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they did all these events, and then they picked the top three from the events based on performance and also based on connection with Nick. And the top three had a 100-meter dash, a sprint, to the finish.
Yeah.
And at the finish, there was a ring that they were supposed to pick up and then proceed immediately into a hot tub where Nick was waiting. Because, you know, every good track and field track has a hot tub at the end of the 100-meter dash.
Yeah.
It's just only natural.
Right.
So Rachel, clear in a way, won this sprint.
By far.
Hands down. But.
But what happened was,
instead of picking up the ring, she dropped it. And when she dropped the ring, Alexis, who was in second place, ran right past it. And Astrid, who was a distant third, noticed the ring on the ground, picked it up, ran, and hopped in the hot tub with it.
Yes,
so Astrid
she
won.
She just swooped in. And I mean, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. The rules were clearly you had to pick up the ring.
Yeah.
And Rachel and Alexis both didn't. Oh, and Rachel stomped on the ring and it shattered.
Oh, she did. Yeah. I mean, it shattered to pieces.
Yeah.
Just like, I guess.
Just like all of Nick's former loves.
Yeah. Right. So she jumps into the hot tub with him.
Yeah. And then we flash to the dinner, really. I mean, nothing happened in the hot tub.
Yeah. It kind of just faded off. And then at dinner, it was, you know.
Dominique was trying desperately to get some time with Nick. Now, when you hear the name Dominique, you might be like Jessica and I and think, who?
Yeah.
What?
I
There's a Dominique?
I don't feel like I even knew who she was until this show.
No, I think maybe someone went home and they just brought her in as a replacement.
And we just were like, okay.
Yeah, Dominique. We've known her. She's fan favorite.
Right.
No.
No.
No idea.
She was very upset, though.
Very upset. Because Nick had not given her a fair shot.
Right.
And she's known him for several days. And they're not yet in love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tragic.
Right.
Yeah. So she was very upset by that fact. And went and had a little conversation with Nick. And everything was fine and left. And it just wasn't good enough for her. So she went back.
Yeah.
And confronted Nick.
Yeah.
And said, you know, I'm not going to BS you ever. And I wouldn't expect you ever to do it to me. And I don't think you've given me a fair shot.
Well, Nick wasn't having any
option. He was just taken aback. It was very odd.
Well, I mean, I think that's what I would have done.
If you were Nick?
Nick, yeah.
Yeah. Because Dominique she's never taken any initiative, at least that we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And he did invite her on this date to get to know her. And she still didn't take any initiative until now.
Right.
When she's confronting him pretty angrily.
Mm-hmm.
So he sends her home.
He sends her home.
Yeah,
which was fine by me because I mean, again, I didn't know. I didn't know her. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then he goes back to the girls and starts talking, and they're asking where she is, and he tells them, you know, I had to send her home, and that was pretty much it. And then he gets the rose
and gave it to Rachel, who should have won the 100-meter dash,
which I thought was cool that he gave it to her.
Now I have an interesting theory about Rachel.
You do.
Yeah. And I might be wrong, but The Bachelor has never had a primary contestant of color.
Right.
And Rachel, I think, has risen kind of to the top of being a fan favorite. She's a beautiful woman. She's 31. She's an attorney. And I like her a lot. I think Nick has other relationships that have advanced further.
Yeah.
I think she'll be the first Black Bachelorette.
That would be crazy.
You heard it here first, folks.
Heard it here first. We'll have to wait,
quite
a while to see if that actually happens.
Well, they'll announce it in a couple months, right?
Well, that's still quite a while.
I guess so.
Yeah. So let's see. Then where did it go from here?
So then they went back to the house the next morning after the drama of sending Dominique home. Rachel's sitting pretty because she has a rose. Vanessa has a rose. Danielle L. has a rose. But all the other women get up in the morning knowing that they have a rose ceremony that night. But then Chris Harrison walks in and says, surprise.
We don't.
No rose ceremony. There'll be a rose ceremony, but no cocktail party.
Right.
Instead,
there'll be a pool party.
Woohoo!
Which I feel like we kind of knew was going to happen because we had already gone through all of the drama of a rose ceremony
right. That
day or this episode.
So they're now back on that schedule where they do a rose ceremony to start every episode, which finishes the week before, and then they move on from there. So we're not going to get a rose ceremony at the end of this episode, but we do get plenty of drama at this pool party.
Yeah.
Thanks to
Corinne,
of course.
So all of the girls are, you know, at the pool, Nick is there. Now, some of these girls haven't seen Nick in, like, the whole week.
Yeah, Danielle M. had her one-on-one date with him and hadn't seen him since.
Yeah, and I really liked her, but she was hardly in this episode at all. So he is at the pool, and then it flashes to Corinne, who is sitting in her bedroom putting makeup on. And I'm just thinking, what is she up to? What is she going to do now? And she says, I have something special planned for him.
Meanwhile, all the other women are out at the pool. They're having fun. It's a, you know, it's a basically a big group date party.
Yeah.
Some people are pulling him aside, doing some one-on-one time and talking and seeing what words they can get in between kisses. Lord knows Nick likes to do that.
He does.
With everyone.
So Corinne comes down the steps and they have a bouncy
castle.
House out front.
Yeah.
I don't know where this came from.
Yeah. I bet she asked her nanny to send it to him.
I seriously think that's what happened, because I don't know where else this would have came from. But there's a huge princess bounce house out front. And of course she jumps in, she gets Nick, and they're just jumping all over the place.
Everything blurred each out. Other. Like everything the Bachelor loves to do.
Yeah, everything he's getting blurred out. Lord knows what's going on. And of course, everybody's watching.
Yeah. Well, from the second story, you can see right down into the bouncy castle. And so all the women are watching all the action going on with Corinne, you know, in a skimpy bikini.
Him in a bathing suit.
Straddling him.
Just making out.
And that's all that happens. Nick keeps saying he has to be cautious. He has to be conscientious of the other women, etc. But, you know, still, this early, with everyone there.
Everyone's watching. You know awkward. Everyone's watching. It is very, very awkward.
So Nick gets out of the bouncy castle, and Corinne, again, is kind of disappointed. Who knows what she thought was going to happen. But more importantly, all the other women have now mustered the confidence to confront him.
Where does Corinne go, though?
To bed.
She goes back to bed.
That's
back.
The third time. She also, we forgot, she took a nap during her group date.
That's right, she did. That was amazing.
I guess.
It's so funny.
She can nap anywhere.
She does.
In between running her multi-million-dollar company, which she referenced two more times tonight.
She did.
Yeah.
So then they, all the other girls.
Start to confront Nick. But the most dramatic, I guess, to me is how we finished the episode.
Yeah.
And that's with Vanessa.
Correct.
We just saw Vanessa and Nick starting to form what I think was a pretty good connection on their one-on-one date. Vanessa just, she seems really intelligent. She seems like she knows what she's doing. She has a good connection with Nick. And she calls him to task about the way he is acting, which is interesting because all the other women talked to him and said they were warning him against Corinne. You know, Corinne this, Corinne that, Corinne this, Corinne that, over and over. But Vanessa said, essentially, I don't blame Corinne.
No.
I blame you. I question your judgment. I question your actions. And if you're here not to find a wife and here just to, you know, be sexual with Corinne, then I don't want you to give me a rose.
She, like, said that. That's that not, part, like, yeah. Just you, like, paraphrasing that. Like, it was, like, boom, mic drop. Like, it was pretty amazing that she just called him out on that.
Right.
But then that was it.
Flash to black.
Yeah. So that's all that we got.
Yeah.
So now we have to wait till next week. Well, hopefully we get to do this again next week.
Yeah, we'll see.
Apparently a lot of you guys have been watching or
listening
to this.
Hopefully they're not watching.
Right.
I don't look my finest. So what'd you think?
I enjoyed it. It was a good one. Yeah. It wasn't too much drama. The Backstreet Boys definitely turned around for me. I was into it. Yeah. I'm ready for next week.
I'm ready for Corinne to be gone.
Yeah.
And then I think it'll be much better
off.
I
am definitely ready for her to be gone.
But like I said, I highly doubt she will be. She's got to be good for ratings. The producers have to love her because someone needs to stir up drama. And otherwise, you're going to have weird Josephine, funny Alexis, and everyone else pretty much getting along.
Right.
So
kind of your normal.
I'm sure she'll stick around for a long time. I'll just have to grin and bear it.
Yeah.
That's it for us.
That is it. Thanks for listening, guys.
So that was Jessica and Kevin. Thanks so much for listening to ForThomasMattersRadio.com. Sponsors today, Omega Processing Solutions and Jamie Anna Insurance Services. You can reach and download our For Thomas Matters Radio podcast archive anywhere that you can download or listen to podcasts. iTunes, Google Play, right there on your iPhone device. There's a little purple icon. Just subscribe. Just simply search Fort Thomas Matters, and we should pop up into your newsfeed. It's really, really helpful when we put something new up. You'll get a notification, and then you can listen. So one ask, when you listen, if you have enjoyed even a little bit of the snippet of any part of the podcast, please do rate us. So when you rate us, it really kind of helps us move up those Google ranks. It helps more people find us on podcasting and podcasting apps, and it'll help us. It'll help our advertisers because we never do charge our readers, our listeners, and we probably never will. But that's how you pay us back. So I really appreciate that. Again, for Jessica, Kevin, Omega Processing Solutions, this is Mark Collier for Thomas Matters Radio. the Bachelor and Bourbon Podcast.